Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk and Infor Podcast. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And it is September this month. That means it's National Organic Month. So this month, we're diving all into discussing organic, and not just organic, but organic integrity, a topic that I think is at the heart of independence in the natural food industry. So with shoppers facing more label claims than ever, I think it's critical that we cut through the noise and reinforce the value of organic now, right? And even regenerative organic and their place in the marketplace. So joining us to share his insights on how organic and even regenerative organic are performing at retail and what trends we should have on our radar, the one and only Jim Olson, SPINS Senior Retail Insights Manager. Jim, take it away.
Thanks, man. I feel like I want to run through a brick wall right now. I'm all amped up. Let's go.
Yeah, it is the caffeine this morning. Sorry.
Probably. No, thanks for having me. Organic is always fun to speak to. It's such a cornerstone of our industry, of kind of what we do, what we're drawing to. To your point, I think there has been a lot of, they call it greenwashing over the years as organic has risen in popularity. There are a lot of different brands, both major and minor, who have tried to coat themselves in a sheen of organic while not actually being really committed to it. But the good news is overall, and that maybe it's own story, right? Or own podcast. But, the logo itself, the organic seal, color and packaging still holds a lot of weight with consumers, even after all these years. And in spite of some of those more deceptive marketing tactics. We've seen this, and apologies to our listeners who are at the Infor annual conference and may have attended the SPINS session where we spoke to some of these, but some of these stats were too good not to share again. The organic seal has really become table stakes for consumers seeking to make healthier shopping choices. And because of that, we still see very strong growth across the board. Organic product sales were up 11% across Infra, which is outpacing the 7% growth they saw across the larger natural channel. So whether you are an Infra store shopper or you are just looking for natural food retailers that stock organic, either way you go, there's still a lot of great sales success for brands who are committed to a more organic ingredient deck.
It is very encouraging to hear this, that you have a seal that has been in the marketplace for a long period of time that is still driving sales. In terms of subcategory growth, were there a couple of subcategories that you feel like were important to call out here? Maybe something that has been trending lately that hadn't trended a couple of years ago?
Yeah. Another cool thing we've seen is that a lot of areas, these categories, subcategories where consumers are trading up to the organic alternative. Soda, of course, a huge, huge topic over this past year and a little bit before then. Organic options grew 334 points greater than non-organic soda options. Organic ice cream saw sales growth 35 points higher than non-organic ice cream brands. Organic juices grew at a rate 28 points higher than their non-organic counterparts. So there's lots of options in shelf-stable options, frozen, refrigerated, where we do see consumers making that extra effort to shop organic, even if it does mean, as mentioned, kind of trading up to a slightly higher price point in order to achieve those perceived health benefits.
So Jim, that has me think too, like when Angela asked about categories, do you have anything in even private label? Because I know that that's where even maybe a lot of consumers are introduced to organic when they're out at a conventional store or something else like that. Or maybe even as they come into the Infor store, they see Cadia or something like that, that it's at a more approachable price point. Are you seeing anything with private label or those EDLP programs in relation to organic?
Yeah, I mean, right now, private label makes up about 22% of organic sales across the natural channel. So it's still a significant thing. We've seen a lot more even conventional retailers and those big banners using their private label as a means of kind of getting a wedge into the organic space more specifically. Cadia, as we know, performs very well across infra, carried by hopefully a lot of smart infra retailers. Cadia sales with it across infra are up 33%, which is really cool. So we know that they've been longtime allies and partners of infra. So it's nice to see that they are very successful. And if I can do a little unashamed plug, you know, the Good Collective launch, it will also be a great option for infra members to have some great private label, you said, you know, kind of more affordable organic options across categories, whether it's wellness, organ to beauty care down the line. And however that brand evolves over the next few years, another great entry point that I believe would have similar success as what Cadia has seen over these past years too.
Excellent segue to just touching base about the wellness department, Jim. Did you look into organic moving anything in subcategories in wellness of note?
Within wellness, not as specifically. I'm a big grocery specific guy for sure.
Fair enough.
But, you know, I know that there are a lot of focus now. You think of the folks who are focused on protein or collagen and some of these other supplements, basics. Yes, we've seen them sprinkled into lots of different categories for sure. But those basic source supplements and vitamins still have a lot of drive for consumers who want to improve their kind of holistic health from a macro look. And organic wellness is definitely a big factor in that.
So I guess a little bit too following up on that, I know you really specifically called out the USDA organic seal as being recognizable to consumers, and that would be one of the touch points that SPINS would be looking at as you're aggregating this data. But I know that you guys also do a great job looking more at what I would call an attribute. So can you break down for me like how I could look at SPINS data to determine what is USDA organic versus what has organic ingredients, right? I feel like, and this is totally anecdotal as my like consumer lens, but I feel like I'm seeing a lot more organic ingredients sprinkled into to products that may not then fully have the organic seal.
Yeah. And that's definitely, that can be an area where, you know, greenwashing can occur. You know, I have a little bit of this as opposed to all that. Within SPINS, within our attributes, as you mentioned, we track both certifications and also label claim. So someone could have a lowercase organic dash free on it, which is different from the USDA organic seal, right? Or they could have organic ingredients up to a certain percentage, but not the whole product can be certified. So the nice thing about SPINS attributes is you can use our different filters when looking to see, hey, I want to boost my frozen appetizer set or my salty snack set to have more organic options, right? You can use these different filters and understand that difference between something that's fully certified as opposed to just a label claim. Both are useful, right? Both have good insights that can give you understanding of what a brand is seeking. You know, I think of Chris mentioned at the outset, regenerative organic certified. You know, it's a big label. You have to go through process. Similarly to upcycled or B Corp certifications, there's a process, there's fees involved in getting that certification. So there may be brands that are, you know, greenwashing and stealing the words organic, or there may also be brands that are coming up and don't have the funds or the bandwidth to fully get a certification, but are on that way and want to let consumers know like, hey, we are organic. We are getting to this next stage, but for now, you know, we do have a very clean ingredient deck.
I do feel like it is still valuable to denote that something is an organic ingredient in the ingredient list. And I understand and acknowledge that the certification is expensive. You know, when I think about organic certification, I think more about the produce department really and how it can be very challenging for farmers to pay for the certification despite those farming practices maybe being something that saves them money long term. I love that you presented that so clearly, Jim. And I feel like it's just such an interesting proposition in that I very much support anybody specifically going after organic and calling it out, even if you can't go full on USDA organic certified label. Thank you for calling out those ingredients in your product, A, because you're supporting people that are doing the right thing. And how interesting is it to think, though, that like that is also that greenwashing proposition of like not going full on, but then, you know, noting things in the ingredient deck that then there isn't some agency that is checking So very strange, like from a consumer perspective, thinking about the pros and cons on that.
Yeah, well, and I think the interesting thing to that, Angela, there's some, maybe even one particular retailer out there that kind of just does that in general with their ingredients, you know, has a lot of clean and or a few organic ingredients and have had this halo of being a kind of a natural food store in how they trade their goods. So yeah, I think there's something to be said about someone who does pay for the certification, who does go all in, who has the paperwork. And that's where I think we really get that organic integrity, right? That's where you can find a little bit more trust. And even within that though, you know, we do have, you know, loopholes and things that can happen. So Jim, when it comes to that, how does SpinStrike, so how would a retailer go in and kind of be able to sift between the, you know, the questions coming at Jim today?
No, that's good. I mean, I think a lot of what Angela spoke to can center also on consumer education. You know, how intelligent does the consumer, how well read, how well researched does the consumer have to go in and understand these differences in organic ingredients versus organic, you know, whole product or labeling or certification. So on the retailer side, you know, utilizing, as mentioned, a lot of spins, filters when pulling our reports, understanding the difference between certifications, label claims, percentage of ingredients that are organic, that can all make a big difference as the retailer presents that. One of the things that they'll have to do from there is that consumer education in person. And that's what I've always loved about Info Retailers is the biggest possible differentiator, comparative advantage that Info members have over other bigger box natural stores or conventional stores is that the educated staff that will take that time, will take that extra minute and speak to the shoppers in the aisle, walk them through those differences in a way that's relatable, help them be more self-educated on their own, make those smarter decisions. Beyond that, you know, there's a lot of Info members whom I love that have taken the effort to make bonus, you know, shelf tags and signage, letting folks know the difference in ingredients and what one brand does or doesn't carry. I think of got some good friends out in Rhode Island who historically have picked some strong battles and drawn some lines against ingredient decks and popular brands that, you know, made a big difference, caused some controversy, but they stood their ground and caused some positive change in the industry. So I think there are numerous occasions where Info members have taken that extra step to be educational, you know, for their consumers, for their shoppers, to help them make those smarter choices. And in this world where, you know, label claims and label ingredients can sometimes be two different things.
Yeah, I think about even the produce side of things with that, Jim, of the similar to what Angela was talking about with the, we appreciate the brands that have the organic ingredients, but still don't have the certification. Like they're still using that, but there is the education side of, you know, the people transitioning to organic or using IPM and, you know, other things like that, where it does take that component of education to say, yeah, it's not certified yet, but they're in the process of doing it. And it's interesting that there's really no, I think, clear certification in the grocery side for a brand to like state we are transitioning or we're working over, you know, like maybe there are in produce. Again, no question there, but just interesting that, you know, That could be a potential. Like I think as a consumer, yeah, you're not organic yet. You have a few organic ingredients, but how can you tell me that you're transitioning or working towards that or doing that? Because I know, you know, when I was a CM, I could work with a brand and say like, oh yeah, we've applied for non-GMO verification. We applied for that. We're just waiting for this stuff to go through. But consumers never know that until that label's on the package, which I don't know, could be used as another loophole for greenwashing.
Yeah, that's tricky too. I mean, you think of packaging, shelf life of certain products. You know, if you have Chris's cereal that's working towards organic, you can put like a, you know, working towards organic seal, but maybe you fast track it, get on there, and now you have, you know, how many units out in the market with that in the process seal when the actual real seal is already ready too. So it's that can be a tricky thing.
So Jim, thinking about new fun ideas, just thinking about innovation, what are you seeing when it comes to innovation in organic? Like what are some of the things Spins is diving into or seeing?
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, the enduring popularity draw of organic products has also really helped buoy innovation across categories within the industry. One big criticism that came out of Expo West this year that I saw online, not necessarily my own views, but a lack of big wow moments and innovative ideas. Like I said, kind of more of a value statement I'm not going to dig into beyond acknowledging that it was out there. But you know, what I can say is that 7% of organic items sold last year were completely new, which 7% doesn't sound like a very big number. But when you dig a little bit deeper, as Spins did, you find out that 84% of those new organic items came from existing brands.
Hmm.
So what that means is these established players see the continued value, see the continued success in the organic seal, and are allocating their budgets towards product innovation, specifically in and toward that organic space.
So Jim, do you think some of that could be related to more innovation focused on the regenerative organic, and that maybe if it wasn't for regenerative organic having such a huge focus and big trend, that we would actually see more of that in the organic seal itself?
I don't know if I could say that specifically. I can certainly hope for that. I think I remember 2022 at the In for Breakfast at Expo West, I made bold proclamation that the regenerative organic would replace organic in terms of table stakes. And we're getting there, not quite there yet. I mean, certified regenerative organic is still growing at a very fast pace across infra, 28.5%, natural channel, 27.5% across infra. So it's definitely growing, definitely booming in a lot higher rate than just the general organic certification. I would love that to be, like I mentioned on this podcast several times, how much I really enjoy and geek out over the regenerative organic certification. So I would love that to be the true statement that because of that, that maybe it's more of like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of a thing, but it's from an organic perspective.
I am happy that you are passionate about that particular seal. And, you know, I feel a little torn. Definitely think that Rock is amazing. Definitely am excited that we continue to innovate the organic space. And I guess there's a part of me that feels like there are so many different consumer profiles that play in the natural channel, that there are some things that speak to some people that would then speak to other people. And so it's totally okay that we show up in different ways. Do you think that Rock's, I mean, like just as an advocate for regenerative organic certification, my guess would be that is like that true believer persona that is about 46% of the natural channel, the stereotypical natural shopper that we all think about when we think about it, they definitely recognize that certification. Do you think that there are other people that it's starting to actually gain market share from a recognition perspective, or are the products that are seeking that out just that exceptional?
You know, ideally, it could be a little bit of each of those three buckets, right? I do think that the true believers come out in support of it. I also believe that that has helped boost the popularity across a broader audience to bring in new shoppers who are starting to recognize what it does and what it means. And I also think that just how Rock is set up to be more of a big tent to help different types of brands come in, you know, whether it can be, you have a jerky brand next to an ice cream brand, next to a coffee brand, that can all be regenerative organic certified because they meet these different aspects of it. And so I think that also helps having a broader footprint overall that keeps broadening. You know, I saw some great innovation at Newtopia Now in August that let me know that, you know, Rock continues to expand, and even these new brands that aren't quite, maybe as mentioned earlier, right, not quite certified, but definitely are utilizing regenerative practices in their early stages, in the early life of their brand. I think that speaks well to the ongoing success and future of that certification.
Jim, I know you mentioned one thing when we were chatting about this episode. You're talking about kid-focused categories. Can you tell me more about that and what you're seeing within those categories?
Yeah. So in a similar vein to, I think we've been starting to tiptoe like where this goes next, right? What's the future of organic? And I really think it is, you know, what Spins has seen is kid positioned products are going to be the best driver for future organic growth. You know, today's parents are a lot more discerning than ever. A lot of brands are stepping up, not just with better ingredients, but with stronger sourcing and certifications. You know, I think of the lunch boxes I had as a kid, and now I am a elder millennial with kids of my own. You know, not only do I get excited to bring them, you know, samples from Expo West or Newtopia, these other shows, and kind of see like, hey, do you have a you know, can I swap? My daughter's a big Takis fan, so to give her, you know, Zach's Mighty and say like, hey, is this a good enough flavor swap? Are you willing to come over on our side? You know, I'm definitely not alone in that. There's these more natural leaning parents raising natural leaning kids. And brands have responded to that. You'll see a lot more upcycled certified, regenerative organic certified on products for kids, you know, smoothies, fruit pouches, snack bars, drinks, you name it. You know, that just tells us that the transparency and sustainability are becoming non-negotiable, which is fantastic, you know, even in categories that used to fly under the radar. So I think all that builds a great foundation for the future where the organic seal, organic products can go.
Shout out Zach's Mighty. I believe they just transitioned to all organic avocado oil, which is really, really exciting. But also speaking to you as a parent that fights the good fight, I heard my 11-year-old tell someone the other day, well, we buy the organic cheddar cheese powder because my mom wants people to keep making organic cheddar cheese. And I had a moment where I was like, I felt very heard. And I was like, hey, this is way better than like 7 years ago when you were at parties going, don't tell my mom I'm eating these artificial colors. All right, Jim. Well, just to wrap this up a little bit, when we asked you to talk to us about organic today, is there anything at all that you wanted to make sure that we covered that you did not already cover?
Just that it's, I think the future is bright. If this was a state of type of a address, you know, in front of a large audience, that the state of organics is strong and looks even stronger down the road. So very excited. You know, you mentioned artificial colors. You know, without getting too far into it at the end of an episode, you know, there is a renewed movement from different spaces in the public sphere that are pushing for, you know, more natural leaning and organic ingredient decks. And I think that overall is a good thing. So I'm excited to see what the historically organic pushing audience and this newer audience can come together and keep this momentum going forward for a long run.
Awesome.
Me too.
Yeah.
So thank you again for your time today, Jim. Next week, we'll be airing my conversation with Shauna Rogers from CCOF, talking about specifically their GROW program and ways that they are supporting California organic farmers for hopefully generations to come. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Craig, Events and Education Specialist here at INFRA.
And I'm Madeline Ware, Marketing and Communications Specialist.
This month, we're chatting with Vicki Bacon, owner of Highland Nutrition Center in Highland, Illinois.
Hear more about the work they do to educate and serve a small rural community and how they leverage INFRA's promotional programs to drive success in their store.
Here's a sneak preview of our episode with Highland Nutrition Center.
We have learned so much about the business aspect of the business, about marketing, about merchandising. It has been a game changer for us, and people really notice. Our customers walk in the door, and they're wowed by what we're doing. They're so impressed by what we're doing. And they're like, well, don't ever change who you are. And it's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to get better at who we are.
We can't wait to share these conversations with you. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible INFRA staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.